my happy home to see what I could find out. I left my folk and friends with the aim to clear my mind out. Well, I hit the roundy road, many kinds I met there, many stories told me all of the way to get there. Ooh. So on and on I go, the seconds tick, the time out, there's so much left to know when I'm on the road to find out. Ooh.
On the road to find out, Cat Stevens. Welcome to Unspun, an experiment in truth-telling. I'm your host, Doug Bennett. Unspun tries to unravel the hype and illusions of corporate media through in-depth interviews with truth-tellers and advocates from around the world. We are now streaming live on the internet. Go to kkrn.org, click on the Listen Now button, and follow the directions. KKRN is a community radio station supported by listeners and underwriters like yourself. Your support keeps us on the air. To make a donation, go to kkrn.org, and you'll see the donate button on the right-hand side there at the top, and just click on that. And a monthly donation is greatly appreciated. A little bit every month really helps the station. You can like us on Facebook at KKRN 88.5 FM. Unspun is a call-in show. We invite questions and comments from our listeners. Our number in the studio is 337-1885, 337-1885, and that is also the number you'll call to make a donation, 337-1885. Today, well, let me go on and introduce my host, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about today's pledge drive. With me today is Dr. Doug Craig. Dr. Craig is a clinical psychologist in Redding, California. He has several important and informative blogs at prominent websites. His Climate of Change blog is at Redding.com, our local print media's website, where he has brought awareness and attention to the looming climate change crisis. His latest blog is in a series at A News Cafe. I'm not sure what number we're up to, but it's free therapy and no charge for that. and it's good stuff. There's a whole series. I think you're up to number 21.
20.
20 now. Okay.
21 probably next Friday.
Okay. And we won't ask what that's about yet. We don't. Maybe we will, but Doug Craig is an underwriter. He underwrites the station here and has for quite a while. He supports listener-supported radio, and we appreciate his underwriting to keep KKRN on the air. Well, he has, in his Climate of Change blog, he goes into depth on probably the most important issue of our time, which is global warming and climate change. And I think it's so very important that we talk about this every chance we get, because mainstream media is not covering this in the way it should. Anybody that's concerned about their future and their children's future need to look closely at this subject. One other thing before we get Dr. Craig on the mic here more is both he and I are going to match today during this hour any donation. Doug Craig and I will both match, not both match, but we will match. Any donation. So I encourage you to donate a lot and make us pay. And we're willing to do that up to $500 this hour. So call in 337-1885, 337-1885. And we also have a lot of nice premiums, tickets to concerts, and I'll go over more of that with you later. Donations from local businesses and local organizations. So call in 337-1885 and make that donation today. Global warming, climate change, why should we care, Dr. Craig?
Well, I often say we have a lot of issues to worry about, and if we use the metaphor of the table, there's a lot of issues on the table. But global warming or our climate, our atmosphere, the biosphere that sustains us is the table itself, is the legs and the floor and the walls. It's everything. So if we don't take care of the climate, it can't take care of us. It's kind of like our lungs and our brain and our feet. You know, it's everything. So, or another way to look at it is that our species has evolved because of a healthy, stable climate, and we're basically committing suicide a little bit if we destroy the climate on which our life depends.
Or actually, over the long term, even if we're not committing suicide, we're definitely shortening the lives of our children and maybe committing genocide on future generations in that sense.
Or it's been called ecocide, you know, the idea that we're intentionally or unintentionally killing off the ecology on which all life on Earth lives. And you're right, you know, individually, those of us that were born in the 20th century may not see the worst of it. Each generation that be after us, though, will, if nothing else, they'll be taught that we were the bad guys. You know, we did it to them. You know, it's our generation, really, our parents' generation and this generation. You and I are kind of so-called baby boomers, but yeah, those of us that were born in the 20th century, especially Americans, you know, Europeans too, but. You know, we've put a lot of carbon up there, and we continue to. I drove up here for this radio show. I put some carbon in the air driving to the radio station.
Yeah, we are all guilty in that sense. But I think a lot of people feel like, well, I put those low energy usage light bulbs, I take a ride on the bike trail down there by the bridge in Reading, and I donate it something to Sierra Club. So I'm done with my, my duties now. I can go on and take that vacation, fly out to the Bahamas now that I've done my duty.
Yes, that a lot of us do that. I hate that term. What is it? Carbon offsets, I think. You know, like Al Gore or somebody will say, you know, if you fly in an airplane, then there's a way to calculate how much carbon that used, and then you can, I don't know what, donate some money to Sierra Club to offset that carbon, which is kind of ludicrous, because the best metaphor I think we can use is a cup of water. As we pour water in a cup, eventually it will overfill, and that's how our atmosphere is. It can only hold so much extra carbon until we force it into a new climate paradigm, and the magic number is somewhat arbitrary of 2 degrees Celsius or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit is the line by which we're not supposed to go across. It's the trigger into dangerous climate change. But obviously nature doesn't have an on-off switch. So every carbon molecule we add to the atmosphere increases the likelihood that the climate will become warmer and will give us more extreme weather events, more droughts, more moisture in the atmosphere, so more floods. You know, when rain comes down, it's going to come down more heavily. We can all do better, but it's kind of like someone that's, instead of smoking 3 packs of cigarettes, they cut down to 2, and we can say, oh, that's healthier. But, you know, it eventually, you know, if you average that out across the planet, if everybody on the planet cuts down from 3 packs to 2 packs, okay, but you know, we're just slowing down. We're still, instead of going at 100 miles an hour toward the edge of the cliff, we slow down to 90. And that's great, you know, good for us. But we're still going over the cliff. You know, it's just we might push it out a year or two before we do that.
Well, Bill McKibben from 350.org has been very adamant, along with other climate scientists, about the tar sands oil. And a lot of people don't get this. Why are the developing these tar sands oil such a negative thing in the sense of climate change?
Well, I think it's irresistible that, you know, if we think back to the day when, you know, let's say in the Middle Ages, when human beings were cutting down forests, you know, for their heat. And then at some point, what, in the 1700s, they discovered they could mine coal and start burning coal and realized this is pretty cool. And then Churchill at a certain point realized that the entire British Navy should be converted over to petroleum and oil. And suddenly the Middle East became very crucial. And so Russia, Britain, United States, ever since, you know, the early 1900s, has been exploiting that oil. And we just can't stop thinking oil, petroleum, fossil fuels. So the Keystone Pipeline is just an extension or continuation of that process, fracking, all the rest. There's a certain mindset that's just hard to change. It's worked so well for so long, and there's still so much money in it that the richest corporations on the planet still accrue, you know, billions of dollars in profit every year. You know what? Just while we were talking, you know, a few million dollars profit. You know, just this morning to ExxonMobil, I'm sure.
So let me. We have a caller on the line, so I'm going to take that call. Let's get Randy. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, yep, this is Randy.
Yes.
And anyway, I just wanted to. I was working this morning, and I all of a sudden I hear the program. I didn't get it on the bottom, but I recognized the topic pretty much. And and so I just want to generally support my station and support the information that is coming from this station, and support both you, Doug, Craig, and Doug Bennett for all the effort that you put out for bringing the issues up that we really need to talk about and hear. And and so I just want to pledge $100 and I'll bring it tomorrow to the pancake breakfast.
Okay.
And and so with that, I'll let you guys carry on, and I'll try to hear what you're talking about while we're beating sheetrock on.
All right,
Randy. All right. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for the donation, and thanks for your support, because I know that you've been a supporter right alongside us of this station. And thank you for that. And so that's a $100 pledge, actually $200, because we're going to match that. So
all right.
We have a good start this morning.
Okay, thanks again.
Okay.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah,
bye. I should also say that Randy is my wingman, so to speak, on my blog, has been almost from the beginning. I've been doing the blog on the Record Searchlight since August of 2009, and he tried from the beginning. It took him a few weeks to break through, but since he's started supporting me, he's like one of my most ardent supporters, and he's always got good stuff, and he's always challenging the deniers to post their sources. When they deny, you know, they have no science supporting them, but Randy's always good to call them on it. So,
well, yeah, let's talk about the denial problem. We even see it amongst our congressmen in office. There, you know, denials of global warming and denials of the fact that climate change is probably one of the most serious issues we are going to have to face, and we'll have to face it soon. I don't think we're past the point where we can do something. I really think if we put our minds to it, we could probably have technology, you know, if we had the kind of effort that they had in the 60s to go to the moon, or the kind of effort that we have by the military every year to develop weapons and, you know, get involved in politics all around the world. If we put that kind of effort into scientifically dealing with the problem, I have still have a lot of hope that we can do that. It's not an impossibility at all in my mind. It's just a question of willpower.
Oh, absolutely. And again, let's use AIDS comparatively, that once in the 80s we discovered there was this disease called AIDS. There was a tremendous amount of interest and effort, financial, to vanquish it, right? And you know, there was some blowback from some that, you know, had some controversy, but if you think about it, there was no compelling interest on the other side. There wasn't a profit to be made at continuing for people to have AIDS. With global warming, however, it's the recognition that the entire system by which our civilization has developed in the last couple hundred years, fossil fuels, could kill us, you know. And so it's like in my parents' generation, they grew up not knowing necessarily that cigarettes were harmful. And, you know, my own father in his mid-20s, when my brother was born, he felt the need to go out and buy a pack of cigarettes for the first time because he had seen in the movies that's what fathers do. They go smoke cigarettes and they pace back and forth.
And pass out cigars.
So he bought his first pack of cigarettes and paced back and forth in the waiting room while my brother was being born, and then developed an addiction, right? So we often compare the tobacco lies with the climate change lies. And so in the same kind of organizations are behind that, the idea that there is a problem and there's a solution. And but there's also a lot of profit to be made. The tobacco companies make tremendous amount of profit off of death and disease. And now the oil companies know and have known, you know, since the late 80s, that their product is destroying the biosphere. And yet there's an awful lot of money yet to be made. There's more oil to exploit. And so they're going to kind of run this out as long as they can get away with it.
Yeah, and of course that would take the government. And I think, you know, people, of course, today there's very little difference between the government and corporations, and it seems like they have taken over the U.S. Government in every meaningful way, because most of the legislation and the policies of the executive branch of government don't indicate any recognition of the problem, let alone any willingness to take any action about the solutions. Let me remind the listeners, you're listening to Unspun, an Experiment in Truth-Telling. I'm your host, Doug Bennett. With me in the studio is my guest, Dr. Doug Craig. We're talking about global warming and the politics of global warming, and this basically the state of our nation and our health. And if you're interested, call in 337-1885, 337-1885. It is our pledge drive week. We are matching dollar for dollar for this hour up to $500 every donation we get. So this is your chance to double your pledge, a monthly pledge. It would be wonderful. And I'll even – every pledge I get, I'll up my monthly pledge by $5 a month for every pledge we get this morning. So call in. Make us pay. We're willing to support community radio here, and we want your support for community radio. So we're going to match your dollars. And if you make a monthly pledge, I will add $5 to my monthly pledge that I already give here at the station. So that's a win-win for everybody, and you win by getting to hear all the great programming and music that we have here on KKRN. That's the same number for to make a pledge or a donation, 337-1885, 337-1885. The website is kkrn.org. If you're listening to us streaming, kkrn.org. And you can make a donation there to keep us on the air if you appreciate what we're doing. Well, now back to our discussion here. If there isn't any political will, and if corporations go on being deregulated, how can we ever tackle this problem in any meaningful way and actually solve the problem?
Well, years ago, I'll say this, that I first really became aware of this issue back in 2004 and been active, very active since 2006 on this issue. And if we all stop and think about it, something very significant happened in 2005 in November, or August, excuse me, Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And that was what some called the first incidents in America, anyway, where we had climate refugees. And I observed then that that was not sufficient to move the public to understand exactly what we were dealing with. And I said at the time that, well, maybe it's going to take a hurricane hitting New York. Because apparently New Orleans isn't important enough, and maybe when it hits, the financial centers of power, maybe we'll see some movement. And sure enough, then we had Hurricane Sandy, and many of the mayors of New York and the governors of the states along the coast there were beginning to speak out about this problem and connecting extreme weather with climate change, and it looked like we might see some shifting. But it's always interesting that the climate deniers always seem to push back and eventually seem to reassert themselves, and people go back to sleep, so to speak. And now we've just had the Colorado floods, and I think there's some more awareness again of what our climate future will consist of. Many more wildfires, many more droughts, more heat waves, more extreme weather events, more rainstorms, just more severe changes. Certainly the ice in the Arctic will eventually be gone, at least in the summer months. The Russian Navy is now planning regular patrols through a region that used to be impassable, but now is becoming easily navigated with their ships. And so our whole world is changing, but it's relatively slow. I mean, it in geologic time, it is rapid. Our climate has never changed. The Earth's climate has never changed as rapidly as it is now. But for the human brain, it seems slow. And we just don't comprehend it, and people can settle back into a routine. We know that 97% of scientists who regularly publish in the literature agree that human beings are responsible for global warming, and 97% of all studies published since 1991 agree with that. And the most recent IPCC report that's coming out this month states that the collective understanding in the planet among mainstream climate scientists is there's a 95% confidence that humans are responsible for global warming. So it's hard to find numbers that high, 95 to 97%, and yet there they are, and that's still not enough because the public doesn't get that, and that goes right to the heart of why you have this show and why KKRN exists, because the truth is one thing, but the perception of truth is another. And so many of our media outlets like Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Wall Street Journal, to some degree, some of the business magazines, Forbes, Fortune.
Fox, yeah.
Yeah, often spin a whole different story. Even though there is no science, it doesn't really matter, as you well know. You're very well informed on a number of things, Doug, and you know very well that what is true is kind of irrelevant, because the people that have the most money and the most power can often say whatever they want, and that becomes a kind of truth that a significant number of people will believe.
Yeah, we were discussing how Orwellian it has all become because of the influence of money and corporate power in the not only in the media but in our government is so extensive now, thanks to the Supreme Court and other interests. But money seems to rule, and the people with the money seem to have short-term gains in mind, and they're not willing to look at the long-term risks, or they're willing to put all those risks back on you and I. That's what I see. They don't really care if they can make the short-term profit and we absorb all the risk. And that's exactly what's happening health-wise and every other way. You were talking earlier about people dying of cigarettes. Well, we're dying of not only the pollution, and carbon dioxide is part of that pollution at this point, and it's recognized now by the EPA, even though they're not making any meaningful attempts. But the people are dying from asthma and bad food and pollution on many levels, not only of our air and our water, but also of our food. And all of these issues just seem to fall by the wayside, though they are the truth, and we can support that those statements by simply going to different health sites and people that, disease centers, people that actually compile all this data. So we know what those truths are, and yet we continue down the same road. We probably should all be out in the streets if we realized that if we don't soon hit the brakes or change the scheme of things as far as our government and our society is concerned. So we have Dr. Doug Craig here in the studio. We're talking about climate change and the state of our nation and the state of our health here today. We have Mauro joining us in the studio also. We'll get Mauro on the air here eventually, too. So call in 337-1885. We're having our pledge drive here at KKRN. We need community support to keep the airwaves full of our signal. So we need you to call in 337-1885. We're doing a matching dollar for your donation up to $500 in this next hour or half hour. We're approaching a half hour right now. So you're listening to Unspun, an Experiment in Truth Telling. I'm your host, Doug Bennett, here with Dr. Doug Craig and Mauro Oliveira. Mauro, you want to say hello? Or visiting?
Just visiting. I heard the Dougs. And now I have stereo Doug. I love that. So, yeah, I'm done talking.
All right. Well, thanks. Mauro's been working on the pledge drive this week, too. He came in earlier with me on a long pledge drive stint here on Thursday. So thanks for that, Mauro. And so call in 337-1885 if you have questions for Dr. Craig or Mauro or for me about what's going on in the world. We're here to discuss that with you, and I think we need to discuss that more. And if you have any questions about climate change and you know, some of the science behind it, this is your chance to ask Dr. Doug Craig about those things. 337-1885. Well, where were we? So to save ourselves, we're going off the cliff. So what practical solutions do you see on the horizon? Is there something that you see that is a real solution on a level that's a meaningful level?
Honestly, if you're asking me, is there some magic
silver bullet
alternative to fossil fuels? It's going to be a whole combination of things, but I think a lot of us who look at this issue, and I think the three of us in this room understand that that a revolution in spiritual consciousness is needed and is evolving and is happening. You know, I'm so inspired by the tree sitters over in Trinidad, what they're doing right now, that and possibly what we're recognizing we need to do to preserve a planet, a livable planet for our children and future generations. That I have this great CD. Her name's Eliza Gilkyson, and she has a song about the party's over. You know that, and it's just a wonderful song. And if you read into the lyrics, it's just like the party's over. It's we've had a good party, we've left it for our kids to clean up. You know, and we just got drunk and used up all the resources, and we're all fat and happy, and there's not much left for the rest of the planet for future generations. There's basically three. Three victims here. There's future generations. There's non-human life, and then there's the poor people. And so, it is a moral crime that our generation is inflicting. It's intergenerational crime, and we should all be hauled into court for that, or go to prison maybe. And obviously, that's not realistic. But we need to be held accountable, and there is a concern. That because it doesn't impact us, that it's very easy to carry on with business as usual. And so it isn't about just getting a Prius or riding a bicycle or changing your light bulbs. We have to evaluate our entire system of doing things. There's an inherent corruption and self-deception at work here that causes us to live so blindly, and somehow we have to reconnect spiritually to what does it mean to be a human being in this world at this time. This is the most exciting time to be alive and to be conscious.
Yeah, I agree. The threat is great, and that means the opportunity is great. For us to do something in our world. And if we have any younger people out there, I think it's imperative for you not only to get involved in the climate change issue, but also to get involved with what's going on with your government, with your lives, and with your future, because in my opinion, the current level of and current direction is of our government and of our society is not sustainable, and you will pay the price. As young people, you will pay the price, but you also have the great opportunity of being the solution. But it's going to take might have to put down your cell phone and get out in the street, or you might have to go to your congressman's office, maybe with 100 of your friends on Facebook, and actually get out in the streets and do something. And so I'm with Dr. Craig and Mauro and hailing some of the great heroes, the younger generation of tree sitters and those people that are standing in the way of the XL pipeline. These are the heroes of today. And if we don't recognize that and we don't support that, then we have not done our part whoever we are and at whatever stage of life you're in, because all life is being threatened now. Our fisheries, our air, our water, we are going into unknown, uncharted territory. Isn't that right? We're moving into an area where humans have never existed.
Oh, yeah. We're already there. Yeah, this is a new planet. We don't quite know what that means yet, because there's a delay, there's a lag in the system. So the climate we have now, you know, is basically from the Jimmy Carter era, kind of. So the pollution that we put up in the 70s is kind of, you know, there's like a 30-year lag a little bit, 30, 40-year lag in the system. So the point is, even if you slam on the brakes today, even if we cut off all future emissions instantly on the dime today, which we're not going to do, obviously, we're actually accelerating. But even if we did that, it would be like trying to break a speeding car going 100 miles an hour. You know, it's going to take a while to bring that to a halt. And so things will get worse before they get better. And unfortunately, we talk a good game. You know, the IPCC has been doing their thing since the late 80s, but we don't see any progress on any level. There's no decarbonizing going on. There's lots of talk. And, you know, I guess Germany is probably the best example of a nation that seems to be taking this seriously. There was one point where they derived over half of their energy from their solar panels, and Germany is not a tropical nation at all. So we commend Germany, and they're also closing down all their nuclear power plants since Fukushima. So Angela Merkel is my hero. We just need a few more of her, I guess.
I think we have to thank the German people.
Yeah.
Because Angela Merkel wouldn't have done anything unless the German people are right there saying, hey, hello, you need to do this. Isn't it obvious? So I have to think that the German people are more moral and more aware than most Americans. And if we were all that aware in America, we would be demanding the same things. But instead, our government is going the other direction. And I think we have to make that distinction between, at this point in America, there are the people, and then there are the corporations and the government. There's a huge divide, and I think that's a big part of the problem we're going to have to face, is how to overcome that divide. And I only see one way, and that's to make the government and the corporations afraid of the people. It's like the character V in V for Vendetta says, you know, I understand why you did the things you did. You were afraid. But there comes a point where the American people really are the linchpin in this whole thing, because America's the most powerful nation economically and militarily, and American people are supposedly in charge of those institutions, but we're not taking charge.
No, we're not. And I heard a great phrase once that all suffering is connected, and it's the idea that we're all isolated. Our culture has done a very nice job of keeping us isolated. I'm a psychologist, and I work with clients who come in feeling ashamed of their financial state. You know, some of them are working like crazy to get better pay or to get more money, and they're just like deer in the headlights, you know. And they talk about it. It's like the so-called American dream is such a myth, such a myth now, you know, for many. And there's like an actual war on the middle class that we can't even speak about. And if we can't speak about it, it's as if it's not happening. So all these individuals are looking at the wreckage of their lives and thinking, what did I do wrong? And so often they did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong. And yet the opportunity isn't there that it was. When I was a kid in the 70s, I had lots of jobs to choose from, and they didn't pay great, you know, maybe $1.60 an hour, but you didn't need much. I could fill up my gas tank for $3, you know, my Volkswagen, and I paid $100 a month for my rent. And looking back, it was a good life, and we had, you know, the whole Watergate area. We actually had a strong a media system, a really potent journalism that did speak truth to power, and we don't have that, and it just happens so subtly, so easily, that I'm just kind of amazed at how we all just sit back and allow these crimes to happen. But I think you're right. I think all suffering is connected, and I think as we all come together, perhaps there will be hopefully not a bloody revolution, but some kind of a revolution where we realize this can't continue, and some new day will happen. It must happen.
Let's come back to that in a second. I want to take a moment here to thank Dickie and Ellen for a pledge. I don't know how much it was, but Doug Craig and I will match it, and thank you for calling in with that pledge. And this is our pledge drive week. I encourage all of you listening to call in. KKRN need your support, and we are thankful for your support. So call in 337-1885, 337-1885. You can use that same number if you have some questions about climate change or the state of our lives here in America today. As American citizens, we're kind of talking broadly about all those things right now. But thank you, Dickie and Ellen, once again, for your pledge and for your support of KKRN. While I'm at it, I want to mention that KKRN is going to be at the Reading Pride Festival this morning, and that's downtown. Between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m., they have the Pride March, and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., they have their Pride event right in front of the Cascade Theater. You can't miss it. And they have live music, good food, art, and for those gay couples that want to get married, they're actually performing gay marriage there today. That's a a news-making event right there. Bring your camera. You might be part of history. For more about this, from the Gay Pride event, go to www.norcaloutreach.org, norcaloutreach.org, and they're also on Facebook. But that's today, and KKRN will have a booth there celebrating diversity and equality, two things that we do support greatly here on this station. We try to give you diversity in programming, too. You're listening to Unspun, an Experiment in Truth-Telling. I'm your host. With me in the studio today is Dr. Doug Craig and Mara Oliveira, the producer of Small World Radio. So you have three knowledgeable people that know about global warming, climate change, activism, and many other things. So if you have questions about those things or how you can get involved, please call in 337-1885. Well, we were talking about the need for some sort of revolution before that little break there, and it wouldn't have to be, as you say, a violent revolution. In fact, hopefully it would be one that wasn't violent, but it's going to take a mass of people that really care, I think, to bring any change.
Oh, absolutely. I just think we're very complacent and understandably perplexed about what to do. And you know, for all our talk of freedom, you know, we're a nation that prides itself on freedom and liberty and all those wonderful words, but we're remarkably willing to give up our freedom, our freedom in our minds and spirit, our willingness to allow the government to know everything about us while we know nothing about the government and what they're up to, and so I think that's kind of part of what we're up against. And I hope, you know, over time we turn to one another and we trust more in one another and realize that some of the structures we've created, even the political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, are kind of useless to us. They're of no help in achieving, you know, the better world we all wish and hope that we one day achieve.
Well, we've got another caller on the air, so let me take this call. Willie, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello.
Hey. Good morning. Yes, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm at the Gay Pride event, and, you know, it's a serious topic that you're speaking of, but it involves all of us. And I suppose the Gay Pride all-inclusive demonstration like this is a part of that. We are all involved in each one of us, as your guest said, that each one of us in driving to wherever we are today got involved by putting carbon into the atmosphere just by doing that. And I think that thank you for doing what you're doing. I think it's really important that we all become more aware of the globe and each one of us having not a part just locally, but everything we do has an impact on the whole planet. Yeah. And that's just what I wanted to say.
Well, yeah, thank you, and you make a great point. And a part of that point, it reminds me of Martin Luther King saying, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." So when you're down there supporting gay and lesbian people, and in people of, and that just goes across the whole spectrum, because there's an inequality there, there's an injustice there, and the fact that we can make a statement about that injustice and possibly affect justice in the future. And there's also the same issue of climate justice. So, yeah, thanks for that. And, Willie, you're going to be at the KKRN booth down there at the Gay Pride event today?
I am at that booth right now. We're just setting up our tents right this moment. Ellen and we're here.
All right. Well, great.
Come on down. It's a very colorful day today, right in front of the Cascade Theater.
Okay. Well, and I know you will wear colorful clothes, and I'm going to have to find my rainbow tie-dye shirt somewhere, wherever I left it. I can't
wherever
remember.
That was. Yeah.
I think I left it back in the 70s somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. All right. Well, thanks, Doug and Doug, for all of that, and Marlo, too.
Thank you, Willie.
Thank you, Willie.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, yeah, Willie makes a great point, and I think you brought this up earlier, Doug. Climate justice. How do we reconcile the immoral things that we're doing now? How can we reconcile that against all the people that will soon suffer, even with a slight rise in sea level? Maybe we could talk about what the repercussions of that will be.
About sea level rise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I subscribe to a science journal called Nature Climate Change, and there's some new modeling telling us that by 2050, there will be five cities, American cities, that are in the top 10 that will be impacted by global climate change. The obvious ones, of course, New Orleans and the Newark area and Miami. But also Boston and Tampa, St. Pete area down in Florida are all going to be majorly impacted. And just when I said those names, we can all picture huge metropolitan areas. So we're talking climate refugees. We're talking about Americans that can no longer live where they live and will have to move. And it's beyond calculation. They're calculating if we do nothing, just that alone will be like $1 trillion a year to cope with rising sea levels around the world. So when the deniers talk about, well, we just can't afford to do anything about the climate, we must look out for the economy, we don't realize the ecology determines the economy. It doesn't work the other way around. We don't take care of the ecology. There's no economy. You know, the bees, just take the bees. The bees work for free. We don't pay the bees to do what they do. And I'm not saying there's a connection between climate change and honeybees. There may be. But
there has to be at some point.
But a lot of it is the pesticides. Mm-hmm. Either way, human activity is killing off the honeybees. And so when they don't do what they do, what are we going to do? Hire, you know, some kind of immigrants to go around and do what the bees do? And you know, it's ludicrous. That we have all these free services that nature provides for us in terms of water and air and in the case of the honeybees, you know, the pollination of our crops. And we just have no clue what we're doing. We're like little kids just, you know, getting into dad's car at 6 years old and just crashing through the neighborhood. And we have no clue what we're doing, not a clue what we're doing.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory, and that means all biological life is in uncharted territory because the evolution of life, you're talking about the bees. I think Einstein said it wouldn't be too much longer after the bees die off that that the human race would die off, but that makes the point of the connection. All life is connected. There's no way around it. All people are connected. All things are connected. There's nothing else. That's an absolute truth. And anybody that would like to argue that, I gladly ask you to bring it on, 337-1885. Call us and make an argument for that if you'd like or against that. But I think to not realize our connection, which is, of course, a big part of the problem today, we're like you said, isolated. We're disconnected from nature. We're disconnected from reality. We live in these little electronic worlds, especially the younger generation. They're on their phone. There was an interesting little cartoon that was up on, I think Donna Greenberg put it out on Facebook, but it was a woman saying her mate's across the table and he's on his phone, and she said, perhaps I could get something and mount that phone to my head so I could pretend you were looking at me when I'm talking to you. And it's so symbolic of what's going on. We're losing contact with each other. We're losing contact with life. And if we can't get a grasp on that idea and we can't get a grasp on our responsibility to somehow move forward in a meaningful way and have a meaningful life, most Americans' lives are meaningless. You go to work and you serve the wrong masters for too little pay, and you come home and struggle, and you can't provide things for your children or health care for your parents or yourself. What are you working for? Why are you, you know, getting up in the morning? Your life is meaningless for most of you out there. Your life is meaningless. So if you want to think about that and the fact that you're not dealing with the real problems, why don't you think, give it some thought, give it, you know, make a move in a direction, become more aware, take some responsibility, stand up, and maybe you'll be able to look your grandchildren in the eye if you make it that far. And there's a challenge for you if you want to have a meaningful life. Think about that. That's my rant's over, so anybody else wants to chime in. End of rant.
You know, as a psychologist, I wouldn't want to tell my client their life is meaningless. You know, I'd feel bad if they went out and jumped off a bridge after that.
If your life is meaningless, what does it matter? Go ahead and jump. I'm sorry.
You're not my psychologist.
You wouldn't want to come to me for therapy. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to come to me for that. But
I look at all of us. We are connected. And we're all becoming more conscious, and some of us are unconscious, some of us are more conscious, but it is, I often use a metaphor of a spiral staircase. We're all kind of climbing. We may be a different stair than another person, but we're all climbing, and we're all becoming more aware that that we are connected, and my actions affect others. And you know, I think the it's sometimes who was it? Winston Churchill said, you know, democracy is a great thing. Maybe we should try it or something. Somebody said that, but I think the same about Christianity. I think that's a great thing, and maybe we should try it. You know, that we have not yet even begun to apply, you know, the principles that Christ talked about 2,000 years ago, and a lot of people claim to believe in, you know, about loving your enemy and doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. And so, you know, for the most part, our devotion to predatory capitalism means it is every man and woman for themselves. And I'm not here to advocate socialism, because that word is just as confusing as Christianity and capitalism. These labels get very conflicted and distorted. But I am saying that we are all in this together, so we ought to act like it, and we ought to find a way to benefit humanity and not just live dog eat dog, compete. You know, we basically have a lottery economy, which means, you know, there's for every one winner, you know, there's thousands, if not millions, of losers, and we can't continue to call that a good way to live our lives, and it's certainly not something any of us should be proud of that we're passing on to our children.
Yeah, and when I make statements like your life is meaningless, I mean that in the sense that we should all be thinking about what we are serving with. So every day when we go to work and we pay our taxes, what is that tax money going for? And when you go down to buy something, who are you really supporting? Are you supporting the CEO of ExxonMobil, Monsanto, or some other monstrous corporation that doesn't care a lick about you or your health or your future? Who are you supporting? So that's kind of a challenge to people that are listening, that maybe took the front by that statement. What I'm saying is that you have the opportunity in the world to make a difference, and now is the time to step up and do that. On however you do that, whether it's living up to Christian values or whether it's understanding that simply for the well-being of future generations, you need to do something different. You can't stay in that same track, because, quite honestly, that same track is going to bury you and your children. And if you can't see that, then you're not awake and you're not aware. And that was my point about your life is meaningless. In fact, it's worse than meaningless. If it come right down to it, it's harmful.
Let me jump in on that. Marl, I'm sure you must have thoughts here, so let's let you jump in here in a second.
We have about a half a minute or so.
That's all we have is a half minute?
Yeah, we're out of time.
All right. We'll save it for another day then. Yeah. I'll let you take over.
But thank you. You've been listening to Unspun, an Experiment in Truth Telling. Pretty soon our music's going to come up here. Oh, see, there it is, the boogie woogie beat in the background, and that's to signal the last minute of our show. I want to thank my guests, Dr. Doug Craig, and also Mara Oliveira from Small World Radio.
He's smiling.
Yeah, he's smiling and waving, and he was contributing. He was moral support.
He's got good vibes.
He's got very good vibes. And anyway, I urge you to support what we're doing, KKRN 337-1885, and we're going to get back to our regular programming here shortly. Pancake breakfast tomorrow at the Round Mountain Community Center from 8 a.m. to noon, so show up for that. Lots of great food, and you get to talk with the members of your community, and you get to support our station, KKRN 88.5 FM. And thank you for listening.
Programming on KKRN is supported by listeners like you and Dr. Doug Craig, who has been treating mood, anxiety, and attention disorders at his downtown Reading office since 1987. Dr. Craig can be reached at 530-246-6000. 7062 or on the web at drdougcraig.com.
This is Pamela Spoto, poet and host of Late Night Poetry Jam. On Saturday, September 28th at 10 p.m., we will be featuring poet Sarah McCurry from Shasta College. Tune in Saturday, September 28th at 10 p.m. at KKRN 88.5 FM.